Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Pastor Peter. Welcome to another Academy. Great to be here with you all. It's getting cold in Melbourne, but I'm glad to have people beside me that I think I can leech off your body heat.
Bit of body heat here.
So it's getting chilly again, but we're tight, we're cozy, so that's good. Glad you could all be here. We're looking forward to another morning, another great morning.
Yeah.
We don't ever take this for granted,
no.
And we're grateful that you're here. We love having you guys here live, and to anyone that might be watching in the future.
Absolutely.
We absolutely love knowing that we're, as we say every week, we love knowing that we're talking to people. We've had a couple of great weeks, and we're ready to dive into it, to maybe another topic, maybe sort of new.
Yeah, that's a new topic. I was like, anyway, let's just greet everybody.
Yes. We're here with Jay Lewis today.
Hey, mate, how you doing?
Good,
doing
man.
Very good. It's exciting to be back here. As we said last week, no Academy last week because
for good reason.
We had Reverend Jesse Duplantis was in the building last week.
How
we had an amazing
that?
Service. If you were there, why don't you comment below if you enjoyed that? I know personally I enjoyed that so much. It was such a fantastic night. I loved his humor, his honesty, but also the power of what he spoke, you know, the faith behind it.
Yeah.
The trust in God he showed. But we had a great week last week, but it's so good to be back here at Academy with from Melbourne, Australia, with our senior pastor, Pastor Peter Lewis.
Ooh.
Yeah, so...
Get a clap.
There you are.
So I've been saying, okay, what new topic, what are we doing? And just, you know, when you sort of... I'm trying to settle my heart because this is one of the things about Breakthrough Academy. God has very particularly told me, don't turn it into my old style of my Bible college. You know, I've taught Bible school and things like that, Jerusalem Bible School for a number of years. And so I was going to push back into that, the style I was there. And that was really good. And that was wonderful. But it's, Lord's like, no, lean into where you've come to now and flow with that. And part of that is to be able to just not sort of say, okay, here's a topic and we're going to treat academically, but just flow. But in the way that what the Lord's put in my heart is people that are hungry for the word, people that are hungry to grow and grow into the strong foundations of the word. So that when you're dealing with something, it's not on man's opinion, it's not on just what you think, but you've actually dug into it and you lean into it hard. And so the aim is to not only give you truth, but also to give you the tools so that you can be digging in and establishing your own truth outside of even what we're sharing here. Because I don't want you to be relying on everything that I hear and everything that the revelations I've got. I want you to be able to go and say, okay, now, how does that work? And also it gives you an opportunity to be able to hear other messages and sort of be able to weigh them up, not just sort of say, oh, he said it, so it's good.
Yeah.
No, I can always come back. And not that sense of I'm a sheriff, you know, trying to shoot everyone down. But I'm hungry. You know, the Bereans were known as those that when they heard what Paul said, it says they went to the word of God to see if those things were so. In other words, they were saying, oh, I want to see if what he's saying is true. Mm. Not to say, can we find fault in what Paul is saying?
That's
can we
good.
Shoot it down? They were saying, oh, this man's teaching stuff that I'm not used to. They went to the word then to get the confirmation. Yeah, this is what God says.
I think back to what you spoke about last Sunday at church where you said, you know, the amen and then help me understand it. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's a bit of that heart of, you know, the way you said we should approach the Bible and approach what Jesus said as being like, amen, I believe it, I know it's true. Help me understand why it's true. Help me understand what it means.
Yes.
Not be like, I need to understand that stuff and then I'll agree with it. And it's a bit like that with what you said, you know, a pastor says something, I want to have that sort of mentality. Like, I believe it is true. I'm presuming it's true. I want to go find out why it's true. Not, I want to find out if it's, you know, I don't want to go out and try and pick out what is and isn't true. I want to go out with the intention of finding that it's true, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. I was just trying to find the scripture where it says, through the law, I died to the law.
Mm.
And I think it's in the book of Galatians. But that's sort of an unusual concept. Through the law, I died to the law. In fact, let me see if I can find it. Cause it's,
while he's finding that, shout out to everyone here. Brooke, Lewis, Pastor Christine.
Judith
good to see Bourne.
Good to see you all. Richard, good to see you,
Richard,
mate.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
Oh, where are you joining us from this morning, Richard? Well, actually, everyone can comment below, but Richard's answer might be a bit more exciting because it could be anywhere within about three states at the moment, depending on where he's driving for work. But it's good to see you all joining. And I do love that about online, you know, there's a
there's
something really special about, you know, I'm a very big fan of, you know, watching live streams, and I'll watch it's YouTubers and Twitch streamers and stuff, and it's so fun. We get to place where there's a community, and you know about each other's lives, and you get to see what people are doing, and like you can connect with people you never meet. And that's one of the things I love about Academy.
This is also our morning catch up with.
From Mukhtar. Where is Mukhtar, Richard? I've never heard of Mukhtar.
I don't know where that's from. I grew up in the areas that Richard
normally says where he's from.
I played in a lower football league. And so we would play against a lot of these country towns. And so, you know, Tungamar and, you know, little places.
Mukhtar is...
Like Tungamar had about 600 people. They had a football team. But Mukhtar, I don't know that one.
On the border of Victoria and New South Wales, right up there, a bit below Cobram.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce that? Sounds about right. Yeah, very small little town.
I'm going to probably forget that, I'll be honest.
Yeah. It's like three quarters of the way up from, like, you go three quarters of the way up between Shepparton and Cobram. It's there, from what I can see. Richard, I probably should have asked you, though. You'd probably have a better understanding.
So, yeah. We don't need Richard.
If that's not where you are, maybe check your maps.
Yeah. All right, so Paul said this statement, which, you know, like, it's through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. It's a little bit, sort of one of those weird statements that you're reading.
Yeah. It sounds true. No idea why, though.
Yes, true.
I think I agree with that.
Then I may live the God. And let's see if some of the look how long the
message tries to go.
New living. Yeah. Right. So they're going to say. So you go. That's not a phrase that's understood.
Not far from Tungamar, apparently.
I don't know where that is.
Where's Tungamar?
I actually like what the Living Bible says. So it says, for it was through reading the scripture that I came to realize that I could never find God's favor by trying and failing to obey the laws. Mm. I came to realize that acceptance with God comes by believing in Christ.
That's really good.
Yeah. So
can we just read that? Can we go back? Can we just read that one more time?
For it was through... Through reading the scripture that I came to realize that I could never find God's favor by trying and failing to obey the laws. I came to realize that acceptance with God comes by believing in Christ.
That's a really good paraphrase.
I think what we have to realize is that the law, whilst it contained God's plan and purpose, and the Jews will be like, this is the way.
Yeah.
Written right through it and integrated into it is the fact that the law says, but I'm not your answer.
Yeah.
Which is like the weirdest thing. It's like, here, I am the answer. But if you look carefully, you'll find I'm not the answer.
The intention of the law is more to show that we can't do it on our own than to give us a way. The law wasn't intended to show us how to do it on our own. It was to show us that we can't do it on our own.
While being good.
Yes.
So you have something, the law, which, you know, then we extend that out to the Old Testament, which we call the Old Testament, or the Jewish scriptures from Genesis through to Malachi.
Yeah.
So we extend it right out and include all the prophets and the Psalms and everything like that. So that was the way, and it taught them the way, and it showed them the way. Mm. But in reality, when Jesus came, he was saying, but that's not the way.
Yeah.
That's not the way you're going to do it. The law, and he's saying that was never intended to be the way.
Yeah.
But in order to discover that, you didn't have to go outside of the scriptures.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? Yeah. You didn't have to, even though the law was the word given to them, and it was to them the way, integrated in that, and quite clearly when your eyes were opened, it was telling you very clearly, I'm not the way.
Yeah.
Even though it was like, follow me, obey me. This is Deuteronomy 28. If you do everything here, you're going to be blessed and all the rest. It's like, oh, we're just going to do this, follow the word. And the prophets were constantly, go back to the word, go back to the law, go back. So it's like, oh, it's all about the law. Jesus comes back and said, I'm not canceling the law, I'm fulfilling the law.
Yeah,
I'm bringing you to the new level.
I like that.
And what Paul said is, my revelation did not come by having to read and go outside of the law.
Mm.
I could actually go into the law and study it deeply, and through the law I discovered that I couldn't live by the law. The law itself, the word of God itself, showed me clearly of a new covenant to come. It was all there. It's very clear. It's ready, and God has spoken it. And it makes sense. And he says, in the book of Galatians, he talks about the law is like the the schoolmaster holding me in a pattern until grace comes.
Yeah.
And so he said, I discovered all that not by going outside the law, but by going inside the word. He said, so the word of God actually interpreted and gave me the understanding I needed about itself.
Yeah, that's good.
I could dive into it. So through the law, I died to the law that I might live to God. In other words, as I studied the word, which was the law, it showed me that you can't come alive by the law.
Yeah.
He was saying it, and through that, it showed me how I can come alive to God.
Yeah, that's good.
But it's interesting. So sometimes, all right, some people have been brought up in the church and they're believing things which are actually, they're just the, the traditions of the church sometimes, or your own imagination. Sometimes when you share truth with people, they're like, what? That's not true. Do you know what I mean?
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. It was like the Bible. I loved Brother Jerry Seville said, first time, you know, he went to church to hear Kenneth Copeland, his Brother Jerry's wife said, come, you've got to hear this preacher. I said, oh, he told me to hear preachers. He goes, no, this preacher's different.
this is the preacher.
This is the one you need to hear. Mm. And she goes, listen, if you come and you don't like him, I'll never ask you again.
Mm.
And so he's like, okay, that's a deal I can do with.
So that was the one he'd been waiting to hear that his whole life.
So he goes, and he was different. Yeah. He's like, and he got his attention. He said the first thing he did was he got up and he said, Brother Copeland, can you imagine doing this? Bible turns to the song leader, you know, the worship leader who's on the piano. He said, that song was embalmed in unbelief. Never sing it together again in my presence. and it was like, so I've always wondered, what was that song? And anyway, Brother Jerry said, suddenly he's got his attention, like, who is? And suddenly he said, Brother Jerry said, I became a defender of the faith. Who does he think he is to come in here and tell us? And he said, you know, it was from like it was a song from like the Baptist hymnal. And he's suddenly like, those songs have come from God, you know.
You
and,
care, do you?
And he was like, how dare you, you know, come in here and say our songs are no good. You know, it's like our songs.
Right? Yeah. Our,
and, but then he did, but I always knew that part of the story, but I was listening to it again just recently and I'd missed, I've forgotten about something that came at the end of that. And they said, then Brother Copeland began to teach from the Word of God and show them why those words that they were singing weren't matching it with the Word of
God. That's good,
right? So that, because they were singing songs which were not coming from the revelation of the Word of God. And so it does happen. Sometimes we can say things and believe things and flow with things and they don't match up with the Word of God. But because we're sort of in church and we think we've got them from the Bible, you don't need to go outside to get fixed up.
Yeah.
Just dig deeper in the Word.
Yeah, that's
the
good.
Word will fix you. When you think you know the Word, dig into the Word. Mm. The Word will correct you and train you.
Yeah, that's good.
James says the Word of God is like a mirror, that when a man looks into the mirror, he sees himself.
That's good.
All right, and he said how foolish it is to look into a mirror and then walk away and forget what you've seen. You know, it's just like I look at that and I say, oh, you know, my example I always use is like I look in the mirror and I see a man with red hair. It used to be redder, but it's still reddish. Okay. It used to be, you know, fire of orange, you know, burning bright hair. Everywhere I went in my school days, you know, kids are stupid and mean and just weird. Yeah. And everywhere I went in the school, people would say, total fire ban today. Everywhere I went, they thought they were the original jokesters. And it's like everybody did it every day. And I was in a school of about 1,000 kids. So I didn't know 90% of the people in the school. And so these would be complete strangers to me. I'd be walking to class and go, total fire ban today. They all thought they were hilarious. Red. So I knew I had red hair. I'd seen it in the mirror. All right. But imagine if I went down to Knox Shopping Centre, just a main shopping centre just near us today, and they had a special discount, 90% off for everyone with red hair. And I go, oh, I wish I could get 90% off. I wish I could get 90% off. You say, what an idiot.
Yeah.
You say, hang on a sec. I look in the mirror, I see it, and then I go, and then I forget what I see.
Yeah.
And I act as if it's,
yeah,
I've never heard that before. You've got to look into the Word of God. It will show you what you're like. And James said the fool is the one that looks into the Word and then goes on and just doesn't see themselves in that. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Good. That's nice information about someone. Wow, it's talking about this person who's born again. Sounds great. That's you.
That's so good.
And too often we do that. We read stuff and we go, yeah, that's good. Or we sort of say, oh, you know, the preachers get hold of that, or, you know, the Kenneth Copelands get hold of that, the Jesse the Planners live in that. This is you. And you've got to dig into this and find you. And then there's areas where you've got a wrong impression of yourself and what you believe, and you've got to look in the Word until that becomes so real. So yeah, it becomes that more real than what you feel. More real than what you think.
That's so good.
Okay? Can I just say one of the strongest things is what people believe. It's got to become more real to you than what you believe about yourself.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's one of the hardest things to get over. If people believe something, sometimes it doesn't matter how much evidence you give them and how much Word, they say, yeah, but then they go away, but...
Yeah,
you know, I've never had this opportunity growing up, or it's too late in life for me, but it's, you know, I've made too many mistakes, but, you know, I don't have the gift of speaking, but, you know, and you just immediately put all these excuses on it why this doesn't apply to you.
But I need that to pay for this bill, but I need... But I need that money for this. But I need to do that.
Yeah. But if I'd gone to Bible college younger. But if I'd done this when I was young.
Someone doesn't want to get out of a comfort zone.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's not like you're rejecting it. It's just like you just feel as if, sadly, this is real.
This is my lot.
This is who I am. And I appreciate it. So you look in the mirror and it reflects you, but you walk away and then you choose to believe what you think about yourself over what you've just been shown. And that's one of the great things of the Word of God. Paul said, I looked into the law, I went into the law, and from the law, I died to the law.
Yeah, that's good.
It showed me how this all works. And so you'd think that diving deep into the old covenant would make you not be able to flow in the new covenant. It had exactly the opposite effect. The more Paul understood what God said in the law, the more he understood how it applied to him, and the more he understood how it never promised to make us righteous. You say, that's why. And it was always pointing to something. And it's like, it was always a shadow. And it never pretended to be anything else.
Yeah.
And it's all there. And God spoke it very clearly. But some people, they didn't see that, and they just locked into the laws and the rules, and they thought that's what it is. And then when they were presented with truth, they're like, well, I can't give that up because my whole livelihood, my whole being is intertwined with the truths of that law.
That's good.
And if I give that up, who am I?
Yeah, that's good.
And then you gotta say, well, you gotta dive back into the Word. And then thankfully, we've been given a whole lot of new scriptures. You know, I like what Peter said in, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3, we're near the end.
While he's finding that, welcome to Sandy in the house today.
Yes, good to have you, Sandy.
Making noises and making us turn our heads.
Making coffees.
That's okay, though. We're very glad to have you, Sandy.
No, it's great. If you ever wanted to join us
live...
We
wouldn't have it the other way. So
if you're in Melbourne, you'd ever like to join us live. We film this here live from Studio B. Studio B, it's just at the back of the auditorium with the main campus here at Breakthrough. So feel free to come on down.
You're always welcome.
One person who probably can't do that, who just joined us, because they're joining us from sunny Queensland, is the JSMA team. Good morning to you. I'm guessing Lee and the rest of the JSMA team.
Welcome.
Jerry Seville Ministries Australia. Good to have you guys joining us from sunny Queensland.
Wasn't I saying at the start that it's actually pretty warm today?
Oh, yeah, as you can tell from the jackets we're all...
Yeah.
The way I'm dressed right now. It's very warm down here in North. Sunny Melbourne.
I said this will preach well one day. I'm going to do it now. Jay and I are driving here.
Yes.
And we're in the car, and you can see our breath in the
car. We were in the car. Every window's up. We've been driving for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're driving down, and you can see our breath. And I'm like, it must be really cold, Jay, because we've been in the car for a few minutes. And look, my breath is in the car.
Like, I was shaking. It was so cold.
Jay pointed out and said, oh, hang on a sec. And what happened is the night before, we're driving home from somewhere, just a couple of minutes, got in the car,
and the windows are so foggy.
And so we're trying to clear them. And there's a trick you can do. If you put the air conditioner on, you can blow air conditioned air on your windscreen and it'll clear it much quicker. And because we needed to get home by the time, I didn't care if it was cold for a couple of minutes. I just wanted that air. And apparently you can do it even on heat. It works. Dry air. I don't know. I don't understand. But I know if you put the air conditioner on. So we have been driving and I forgot to change it.
So in the air, it was on cold blasting with the air con on as well.
Right? And we're driving and we're complaining how cold it is and look at our breath and we're laughing. And then Jay's, oh, hang on a sec. And he goes, click off, turn. And within 20 seconds, I couldn't see my breath.
It was like a toaster in there.
It was nice. It was self-inflicted. All right? Self-inflicted coldness. And I said to Jay, hey, it's almost like there are some things we go through life and we're complaining about.
Yeah.
And we're upset about it. And we say, how terrible is this world that we're in? How bad is the world that we're in? And we don't realize we're pumping the cold air in through our words and through our actions. You know what I mean? It's self-inflicted sometimes. And I said, that'll preach well.
It did.
Because sometimes people say, life is horrible. Look at how bad life. Look at
other people.
Yes,
you're pumping the air conditioner on, fella. What's the air conditioner? You're speaking words of doubt. You're complaining and using words to say about yourself.
Why can't you see?
Yes, yeah.
And it's like just change. So Peter. We're going to Peter. Yes.
Lee, for what you say, what do you mean? It's very warm. These jackets are just for the aesthetic of it. I'm not at all reliant on its warmth in any sense.
Why would he say that?
So Peter said, and regarding the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our dear brother Paul wrote to you. So Peter's saying, hey, Paul wrote to you guys. Mm. And he said, according to the wisdom given to him. And he says, speaking of these things in all his letters. So Paul wrote to you. And some things in these letters are hard to understand. He said that they're not easy sometimes. They're not just
what it could do.
And he said, and things of the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they also do to the rest of the scriptures. Mm. I think that's a powerful statement. He said, just like they do to the other scriptures, they're doing this to Paul.
Yeah.
Peter was recognizing that what Paul was writing was part of the scriptures.
Yeah.
And so even right at the start, they were becoming aware that God was giving them new teaching, which was what we now call the new covenant, teaching on the new covenant. But what Paul was bringing was not like new teaching that it was out of, he said, listen, that old covenant, you've got to disregard that. So I'm going to bring you something brand new, something from out of that I've heard from an angel.
No.
He said he just actually went back in and he said, it's all hidden there. And I'm just going to explain it to you through the light of what God has said.
Yeah.
And it was always the plan. This is not like, oh, God made a plan. That didn't work. Let's try plan B. It was always the plan. The law was never designed to make us who we, so James is like, you've got to go into the word and you've got to study the word and you look into this word and you've got to have an attitude that is meek. It's interesting. You look at what Peter said. They looked at things, but the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction. Mm. There's attitudes that if you are looking at the word of God through attitudes where you're ignorant, in other words, you're not really trying to find the truth and you're not you're saying things, but you don't really know.
Mm.
And the unstable, you're not in a position where you're listening right, and you're sort of using excuses. Sometimes you people that are hurt don't want to hear the word of God.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
People that are damaged don't want to hear the word of God because you think, but this word will fix you. But what you're saying is I'm broken.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Hang on a sec. In order to be fixed, you've got to recognize you're broken. But some people don't want to be called broken, so they don't want to recognize their brokenness because they're trying. It's like a house of cards. They're trying to live a life where I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Just take about what God says you are and who you are and. And so some people, the thought of who we are undoes them.
Yeah. And the crazy part about that is it's like, you think, oh, the Bible's like, and like, this is not me at all speaking down at you, because this is something I did so much in my teen years, and I've spoken about it a lot on Academy this year, but you know, for so many of my teen years, I was like that. I was like that House of Cards felt like it was about to crumble, but I refused to look at the Bible because I didn't want to be called broken. But underneath, I knew I was broken. And you get to this really awful point where it's like, you sort of, you're left in this state where you actually have nowhere to go because I'm not willing to be called broken and mended. But yet the fact is the Bible also calls me whole. The Bible also calls me what Jesus calls me. And I couldn't believe that either because I knew underneath, I knew enough that I was broken that I wasn't able to actually call myself whole. But I was too proud to call myself broken. And you actually get to this point, it's like, I wasn't willing to call myself broken to be healed, but I wasn't able to believe anything God said about me because I saw myself as too broken.
Yeah.
Saw myself as too broken for who God meant me to be. And I saw myself as too proud for where God needed me to be right now. And it's like, I couldn't, you'd think, oh, you'd think I'd lean into all those scriptures that, you know, like, I know the plans I have for you, the plans are good, not for evil. I couldn't believe any of that either because I knew underneath there was too much. I was too smart to know that I was broken.
Yeah.
But I wasn't willing to admit I was broken enough to get the healing. But I wasn't willing to believe I was whole enough for the truth. And it's like you actually end up in this place where you get the worst of both worlds. You can't actually accept any help anywhere. You're just stuck trying to pretend everything's okay.
Mm. Yeah. You're trying to keep your life together.
Yeah, literally.
And it's like
I can't believe either side of it.
And you're only, and it's like, and then you say, but I am a mess. But you don't. It's not done in a repentance mess where I'm cleaned up and where I now know. So now I don't say that. How does this all work?
No, exactly.
It's like I don't want to be. You know, the Book of Revelation says, you know, they said we're amazing. We don't need any help. Yeah. We're all good. We're amazing And she's like, no, you're rubbish. You know, you're in mess. And say, oh, I thought I was meant to just say good things about myself. No, you're meant to say the truth about yourself.
Yes.
Now, one of the things is when you find out through the law that you've died to the law, that the last part of that scripture is that I can live for Christ, is that what God has done for me, and that now I am, God's plan is for me now to speak and live in the things that he has planned for me. Mm. So I can no longer go around and say I'm a mess, even though I am a mess, because I'm not a mess anymore in Christ, and I've got to see myself in Christ. And so I've got to lay hold of it. But the unstable can't get that, and they don't want it. They don't want to handle that. They want to mess that. Mm. So we're looking at what it looks like to be living in this world, but to see ourselves as God sees us and what his plan and his purpose for us is. And this is more than just finding out, more than just finding out the things that he has for us, the plans he has for us.
Mm.
Okay, this is also finding out who we are and what God has done in us and what has changed in us and how to live that out.
Mm.
All right, in 2 Corinthians, you can always tell when I don't know exactly the exact reference.
New Testament.
Yeah, I know it's there. That doesn't look right at all. That's because it's 1 Corinthians.
Well, that's okay. We take the time.
We find it here. That's what Academy's for.
Well, I was like, I know.
I had it before.
I know where this scripture is, but it's like, that doesn't make any sense. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, so if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come.
Yeah.
This isn't telling you what God has planned for you.
Yeah.
It's telling you who you are.
Yeah.
That's
good. All right. It's not just saying, oh, I've got this for you to do. I've got that. I've got
this. One day, someday.
I want you to live. And even like, I want you to live in love and joy and peace. People say, that's what God wants me to live in. He wants me to know the miracles and work and signs and wonders. Yeah, that's what he wants me to do. But he's not just telling you what he wants you to do. He's telling you who you are.
Mm.
And out of who you are is what you will do.
Is what you do, yeah.
All right? And it's so this revelation is not just finding out, oh, God wants me to be a witness to other people. God wants me to love my brother. God wants me to, do you know what I mean? Because some people, that's what they read. You know, it's all the things we ought to do.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, things. And it's not just saying this is what God wants you to do. It's explaining who you are, because it's who you are that does those things.
Mm.
We do these things out of what God has done. You are a brand new creature.
Mm.
Anyone in Christ is a new creation. is there's something brand new, something God has worked in you, something's happened, and you go, okay, all right. But some people say, you know, but people say, put the but on that. Yeah, but I'm just the same old me.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a nice thought, Pastor. Good for you. But I know me.
Yeah.
I know my old habits.
Yeah.
I know my old way of thinking. Yeah. I know how I feel. Yeah, that's really nice. Mm. But
maybe even not that, but I know my current way of thinking. I know my current self. You know, it's not just my old self. It's like, no. That's who I still am.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know who this new one is that you're talking about. Because I'm pretty. I know who I am, and I still am, and I still am that. So you say that's really nice, but it's more of a theory, and this is my reality.
Yeah, that's good.
And I say no. You've got to look into this as the mirror to see that's who you are, and you've got to dive into that and embrace that and become that, and that's who God will make you, and that's what God will bring out of you. So as you study into the Word of God, these truths take hold, and then we learn how to turn off the air conditioner, change the dial, and actually start speaking what God has said into us. Yeah, because so often we're saying, yeah, but, and everything, and our lips, and I go back to speaking because it is such a power. Mm. You know, James says it's the power of the mouth is the rudder on your life. It steers you.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about a rudder is it doesn't follow it doesn't follow where the wind is blowing, and it doesn't follow the currents. The rudder is what enables you through these things to steer and point yourself to where you are intended and when called to go, and what God has called you to do. So often I go back, you know it's your mouth, because the mouth is bringing out of your heart and saying the things, and you say, no, I need to retrain this to match up with what God has said about me. I need to see that as who I am. I need to do that as what I've called you to do. And you see that in Abraham, because he was called Abram. He was not called Abraham. He was called Abram, which means father, exalted father. And when God came to him when he was 99 years of age and said, you know, guess what? You're going to, you know, promise to be fruitful. And he said, I'm no longer going to call Abraham. I'm going to call you Abraham, father of a multitude. And so he had to name and call himself something. He didn't say, Abraham, when you've had your child, when you've had Isaac, then I want you to change your name to reflect the change.
Seeing is
believing. I want you to reflect. I want a name that will reflect the change in what's happened in your life.
Yeah.
He said, I want you to call yourself Abraham now, because that's how I see you. And that's the truth of who you are. And then in Romans 4, it says, God who calls those things that are not as though they are. He makes the pronouncement now, even before it's been seen.
Yeah.
And that's the way God works. And that's the way I say, look in yourself, so you see yourself, and you begin to speak, all right? And so people are like, I can't understand why I'm still seeing my breath. It's because you're still pumping the words into your life of the old way. You're still pumping old truth into your existence. You need to turn that thing off and begin to speak what God has said about you. And yeah, I go, you tend to go back to it over and over and over again because people listen and go, yeah, but.
Yeah, that's good.
There's sort of like a strange like attractiveness about it, because it's like, that's what I've done. I know that I've done that. That's what I am.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
I'm so comfortable with that. Yeah. So familiar with that.
Yeah. But this is like something that you might not feel that you are,
but
God says you are.
Yeah.
And it's like with aligning your thoughts with that. Mm. You're changing your thinking.
And I love it. We've been watching a lot of Brother Jerry recently, and the old classic message about turning your canoe around.
Yeah.
And you're going downstream, you've got to go upstream. But when you're turning from downstream to upstream, there's a point where you turn your canoe and you're sideways. And it's like everything's going south. And that's the hardest point for people, to when they move from going downstream, saying things like the world says it, going with my flesh, not putting filters on who I am, what I am. And I say, well, and God says, well, this is what I want you to speak about. This is what you want to do. Mm. And you start to turn and it gets messy, because you're sort of halfway between, this is what I've said I was, this is what I'm comfortable with, this is what I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
And I haven't yet got to the point where I'm experiencing and seeing these things manifest.
Seeing the water part for it instead of just crashing onto it.
Yeah, so these things are hitting me, and then the flow to go back. And people in that middle moment lose their nerve and go back to the old way, because it just is, like I said, comfortable. There's something reassuring sometimes about saying things. Have you ever, 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 and I can only imagine this, all right? You're under pressure.
Whatever it is.
You're under pressure, and you're hearing, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, and then you say it. Because it just feels good sometimes to say it as it is.
I've never done this on Academy.
Never. Not on Academy. but, you know, sometimes I just want to say what I feel.
Mm.
And how many, you just undo, it's like you're just pumping the air conditioner. It's like, I just want to put the air conditioner on. Because like everybody else in the world, they're allowed to have their air conditioner on.
Yeah.
All my friends have their air conditioner on.
Everyone else in the world's cold right now. I just have to be cold as well.
Yeah, I just want to say it like it is. And, you know, and I feel, and for those few seconds, I feel empowered. I feel bold. Mm. I feel strong. And, you know, and it's like, yeah. And then I'm left on the other side of it. And it's like, and the Holy Spirit's like, well, now we've got to go back.
Then you've done a lot of good work.
Yeah, we've got to repent. You've just pumped a whole lot of cold air into you. And so praise God for repentance, the power to turn things around, reshape what we're thinking back to the Word of God, get our mouths in it. And so we repent of those words. I can break those words. I can cancel the effect of those words. And I can shut that thing off.
Yeah.
And then I can start to declare the Word of God and put some heat into this thing and begin to declare what God has said. I know what it's like, that pressure, because and it's really weird, isn't it, how much I feel that. And then now some people get to the point where they speak like that all the time, they don't feel anything, because it's become normal to them. But you know who I'm talking about, the people where you're trying to do the right thing, and then you I'm just gonna say it. God never does anything good for me.
Yeah.
There, I've said it. I'm in a mess. See, yeah. I've said it. Yeah. I don't know what to do. I know Pastor says we should never say that, because we should always say, I have the mind of Christ. I know what God says. But I've said it. I don't know what to do. Ha! Take that, Pastor. I'm not even in the room. You know what I mean?
Joke's on you.
Yeah, Pastor. Because I'm a realist. I live in reality. Really, I live in the real.
They really showed you.
Yeah.
In the room.
Yeah. Take that, Pastor. I'll not have you speaking into the back of my head while I'm trying to face these decisions and causing me feel guilty. No. So I've done it. I've said it. I'm bold. I'm big. I'm brave. I've said it as it is. I'm a real person. Mm. I'm not bound up by this airy fairy stuff that you're talking about. I've done it. Do you feel good? Yeah, great. You know, well done, you know. But you know what? Sometimes that anger and frustration gives you a sense of empowerment. You feel strong. But, you know, when you come on the other side, you're breathing it and you're cold and you see your breath in the car and it's like, lousy. It's like, oh, dear. I need to get back into the mirror and begin to see, that's one thing. It's not just about being in the Word.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. It's not just enough to be in the Word.
Mm.
All right? There are two groups of people. Peter says, some things in these letters are hard to understand. Mm. Things, the ignorant and unstable twist, they were also in the Word.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay? The people that were ignorant and unstable were also in the Word, because they couldn't have twisted them if they didn't read them.
Yeah, that's good.
This is not about the people who are...
Don't read the Bible versus
who do read the Bible. There's people who read the Bible a certain way versus people who don't read the Bible a certain way.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And you get that in Jesus' teaching in the parable when he said the man went to build a house. Mm. All right. And one man built it on the sand, and the storm came, blew it down. One built it on the rock. And he stayed through the storm.
Mm.
And so you say, well, what is the rock? Now, if you go to Sunday school, straight away, you know, people know that. You say, what is the rock?
And Peter.
Peter is the rock. Jesus is the rock.
Yes.
God is the rock.
Both correct.
Yeah, they're all, you know, they're a good saying. But that's not in the parable. That's not what they're referring to.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we know that the Word of God is the rock.
Yeah.
Okay? And people, amen. You're all amen. Yeah. Amen. The Word of God is not the rock.
What's the rock?
Give us the rock!
Dwayne Johnson.
Because Oh, well, people look at me funny. I can see it coming through the screen. So let's have a look. Matthew chapter 6, 7. I think it's 7. Matthew 7, right near the end.
You told us to say 7, didn't you?
Yeah. Build your house on the rock. Everyone,
what are you doing?
Okay, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the flood came, and the winds beat against that house, but it did not collapse because its foundation had been laid on rock.
Mm.
Everyone who hears these words of mine. So it's not the words.
It's the doing.
No, it's how you hear them.
And does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand.
Yeah, that's good.
The rain fell, the flood came, and the winds beat against it, the house collapsed. It was utterly destroyed. This is not people who have the Bible, people who don't have the Bible.
Yeah.
People who listen to preaching versus people who don't listen to preaching.
This is the same Bible, two different outcomes.
Yeah, so this is, you are not even in the point where the group is divided if you are listening to the Word of God and watching, you know, if you're watching this on Academy, you're still in the double group.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. I'm sorry to say, it's you haven't separated until it's how you've responded to the Word.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
That's when it separates.
Mm.
This is not my neighbor who's never heard of Kenneth Hagin or, you know, Brother Copeland or never heard of, you know, never. This is not my neighbor who's never opened a Bible.
Mm.
This is not where the division is. This is not the Christian who's, you know, just such a baby Christian and he doesn't read his Bible. No, this is not, and it's like, this is versus the guy who doesn't read his Bible and me who's got a message on when I'm driving to work. Okay, yeah. That's good. You're still not in the division yet. That's not who Jesus is talking to.
No, that's
He's
true.
Talking to the group of people, both who put on a message while driving to work.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
that gets a bit, and I say, well, hang on a sec. I thought if I put the message on, I'm in the good side. You are on the good side, but you haven't. That doesn't mean anything, because you can look in the mirror, and if you don't take what is heard, you can listen to it because it can be helpful and inspiring, but then you must do the next step and take it. And so that's what. So Peter was saying. Mm. The ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scripture. In other words, they take it and they don't handle it properly.
Mm.
They mess with it and they twist it around so it doesn't become what it needs to be. But he said, but Peter's like, we're going to dig into these things. We're going to make these things work in us. And so I don't want to discourage you. People say, I thought listening to your academy was good. I thought I'm on the right track. Yes, you are.
They're hungry.
You're hungry. And but the thing is,
because the reality is, the person who doesn't read the Bible never gets to the right spot. The fact is, you have to, like, a great example is that, the all apples are red and round. Not everything red and round is apple, you know, is an apple. It's like, okay, to be on everyone who's on the right track is reading the Bible, but not everyone who's reading the Bible is
on the right side.
It's like, to be on the right side, you have to be reading the Bible. But just because you're reading the Bible doesn't mean you're on the right side.
It just means I've got to shake.
So don't take this as stop reading the Bible. That's
it's like, I'm going to read it, but I'm going to read it with a particular attitude.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to read it with a particular focus. You know, that's why, if you look at the book of James, chapter 2.
Mm. Hungry to be a doer of the word.
Mm. That's why I said James chapter 1. Hearing and doing the word. Oh, it's almost like James knows what we're talking about. So this is where we get the mirror from. Verse 23. If someone merely listens to the message and does not live it out, he's like someone who gazes at his own face in a mirror.
Mm.
He gazes at himself and then goes out and immediately forgets what sort of person he was.
Mm.
But the one who peers into the perfect law of liberty and fixes attention there and does not become a forgetful listener, but one who lives it out, he will be blessed in what he does.
That's good.
So it's like, yeah, that's...
That's good.
So if someone thinks he's religious yet doesn't bridle his tongue, deceives his heart, his religion is futile. It's going to get hold of your mouth.
Mm.
But if we go back just a little bit before that, So put away all filth and evil excess and humbly receive and humbly welcome the message implanted within you, which is able to humbly welcome, meekly welcome. Take hold of what God says with an attitude of, this is real, this is true, this is more real than what I know.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
This is more real than what I've experienced.
The highest form of reality.
So interesting what it says in that next verse. But be sure you live out the message and do not merely listen to it and so deceive yourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to take this word and say, okay, yes, amen, I receive it. Mm. It says, okay, humbly welcome the message. It's an attitude.
Yeah.
It's to do it without arguing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot. It's a bit different. You'll see where I'm getting it. In uni, I've just come from doing 3 years of sports media and media courses. And something they are very strong on in the media field and in the creative field when making videos or writing or anything like that is feedback. There's one thing every single teacher teaches. It's the power of feedback in your work. It's that everything you do, you get feedback. You do it once, you get feedback. You fix it up, you get feedback. And you're constantly just asking for feedback.
Yeah.
They're so sorry. And it has really changed my opinion on it. But it was something I struggled with because when I first got it, I was very protective of my work. When I do creative work, it was who I was. Like, I hated getting negative feedback. And I really struggled to go into feedback.
Hang on a second. When you mean feedback, you mean people telling you how good you are and how wonderful it is. Well, that's the sort of feedback.
That's actually the thing I found interesting. Is it's something God sort of challenged me. And I think it's similar to this. It was like, okay, don't ask for feedback if you're only willing to get one answer. And I'm like, I don't ask for feedback in situations where it would only be... And I'm like, I'm not going to ask someone for feedback in a way or in a time when it would only be appropriate for them to give one answer. I'm not going to... I don't phrase the question in a way that only allows for one answer. I'm just like, how good is this, eh?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's... technically I'm asking for feedback. But what I've done is I put them in a situation where they couldn't say, no, it's not.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't do it. I'm like, oh, I don't come with... I spent weeks working this project. Can you give me your thoughts? I spent weeks diving this project and I'm finally happy with where it's at. Can you give me your thoughts? What thoughts can they give? I'm like, it's a loaded question, but it's because I only want to get one answer out of it. And it's like, I've had to learn. I'm like, no, if I'm not willing to get either side of feedback, I don't ask for it. Because I'm like, that's completely wrong to the person I'm asking for feedback because I'm forcing their hand to do something that they might maybe not comfortable with, or I'm going to hurt them and I'm going to hurt myself. So I'm like, it's the same with approaching the Bible. Don't approach the Bible for an answer to a question you're only willing to get one answer from.
Yeah.
You're going to the Bible saying, God, what do you say about my job? Well, if you're only willing to have God say one answer, don't go to the Bible. Because what if the Bible gives the other answer? You're going to get offended at God. You're going to get angry.
Yeah.
You're going to twist his words. You're going to do whatever you can to get the answer you want. Don't approach it if you're only willing to have... It's different, but it's similar. It's something I've had to really work in my heart. Is when I invite someone to church, okay?
Yeah.
I invited a friend to church recently and I put in the message. I said, I want you to know, and I mean this, whichever answer you give, we will still be friends. And I put that because I said, I want you to know, I'm not trying to force you to do this. I'm not going to try and blackmail you with my friendship, blackmail you by losing my friendship by saying, and they said, no, they want to come and we're still friends to this day. But the reality is, that took a lot of time for me to come to that decision. I'm like, and I actually, before I sent that message, I waited a day and prayed of it. I said, God, if they say no, am I actually going to become rude to them? Am I going to become offended? I'm like, no, I actually decided, no, this is, and I said, this won't offend me, whatever your answer is. And I think it empowered them that they felt confident to say no. And then they've since been confident to ask me more about church and be like, actually, can I know more about church? And because they knew they could trust me to do so. But it's the same thing. I had to come to a point where I was willing for them to give either answer without it affecting that. You have to get to the point where you're willing for God. You trust God so much, you know. Josh, I think I've spoken about this before in Academy. Josh, I remember it was in COVID because it was online. We were doing youth. Josh led. I used to be my youth leader back in the day. And we're or online. It was the first year of COVID. We're doing it via Zoom on a Saturday afternoon. We'd do our youth catch-ups.
Yeah.
And he was teaching us on, was a concept that I still, like, since I learned that, it's impacted almost every decision I made, where he said, when God takes something out of your hand, it's to put something better in its place. And that maybe came from Pastor Peter originally.
I might have got it from somewhere else too.
Is that a key great Sandy's? He's the next one in line. But it's like, but it's so powerful, that concept, you know?
Yeah.
You have to get to a point where you trust God so much that if he gives you an answer you don't want, it's because he has better things planned for you than you have planned for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
If I ask God, go to the Bible to get an answer, but it's not the answer I want, I'm going to trust it, and I'm going to trust it because I trust God that he wants better things for my life than I ever planned for my life.
Yeah.
He has, look at what the Bible calls me to be. He called me to be better things than I could ever call myself to be.
Yeah.
So if he says for me to do this, that's his end goal, is what he says about, you know, who he calls us to be. I have great plans for you. I know the plans I have for you, say the Lord. That's his end goal. That's what he's working towards. So if he says this is the step to take to get there, I'm going to believe him and take that step. So, but as I said, you have to approach the Bible with that intention of whatever the answer is, I'm actually going to believe that answer. Really, I'm not going to the Bible with one answer in mind, you know?
And I'm not going there with a, I'll weigh it up when I see it.
No, I'm not there. It's not a loaded answer. I haven't made my mind up before I get to the Bible what it's going to say.
Yeah, I remember you speaking like similar concepts, particularly when you're wanting to hear, like, get an answer or hear the voice of God, like what Jay's just saying.
Yeah.
But if, like, and you said this, if you've already made up what you want to hear, you're not going to be able to hear anyway.
No,
you
know exactly. Can we look at a really interesting example?
That's really
of this.
Good, Jay. Yeah. I like that.
Oh, thank you. So this is someone who's referred to.
That was good, wasn't it? Any feedback?
That's all right. I actually have a lot of feedback to give you now that you've.
Was it? I think it was Stephen Furtick who said his first ever message he preached. Said. He got down and one of the elders came up to him and said, that was good, Stephen. He's like, oh, it was all God. And the elder's like, it wasn't that good, Stephen. And walked off.
That elder probably had a little bit of a chuckle on the way.
Yeah.
There's an interesting character that is mentioned in Peter's writings and in the book of Revelation when Jesus is talking to the churches. And says, beware of this the attitude of this guy.
Yeah.
All right. So it's like, okay.
Name drop.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. And he.
Josh Debbie, what?
And he comes, and it's from the book of Numbers, chapter 22. So let's actually take time to study this guy for a little bit, because he's actually. Here, thank you. I'm thinking and looking at this. Okay, this guy is really weird to me. All right, who is this guy? All right, the Israelites are traveling. This is where they're moving. This is Book of Numbers, so they've come out of Egypt, but they're not in the Promised Land.
Yep.
They're in that sort of transition state. And it says the Israelites traveled on and camped in the Rift Valley plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan River across from Jericho. So they're in the right sort of area.
Yep.
But Balak, the son of Zippor. So, and he is a king, son of Zippor, saw all that the Israelites had done to the Amorites, and the Moabites.
I'm getting there.
And the Moabites were greatly afraid of the people of Israel, because they were so numerous. They're a problem here. Mm. And so the Moabites were sick with fear because of the Israelites. Verse 24. So the Moabites said to the elders of
24.
Yeah.
Four.
Oh, four.
22. I was like, wait, do I need a
double? Yeah. So the Moabites said to the elders of Midian, now this mass of people will lick up everything around us as the bull devours the grass of the field. Mm. Now Balak, son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at this time. All right, so verse 5. And he sent messengers to Balaam.
Mm.
Where did he come from? Suddenly this guy Balaam.
Enter
Balaam. Son of Beor at Pethor, which is by the Euphrates River in the land of Amor, to summons him, saying, look, a nation has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth, and they are settling next to me. So now please come and curse this nation for me, for they are too powerful for me. Perhaps I will prevail so that we may conquer them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed. Let's stop there for a sec. So, like, who is this guy?
Mm.
And this king's like aware, this is a spiritual battle. Like, we can't do it physically, but if we can attack them and bring a curse onto them, then we've got a chance of getting rid of them. And he says, you have a reputation. You're known for the things that you say. You bless people, they get blessed. Mm. You curse people, they get cursed. Mm. Who is this guy? You're like, he's not part of Israel.
He's not an Israelite.
He's not part of that. And then next verse. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fee for divination. The fee for divination. That's in their hand. They came to Balaam and reported to him the words of Balak. And so he said, he replied to them, well, stay here tonight and I'll bring back to you whatever word that Yahweh may speak to me. This guy hears from God. Mm. He's got a relationship with God. Yes. His prophetic words, that's why he blesses people and they get blessed. Who is this guy? You know what I mean? And we sometimes think, well, everything's happening within a certain field. But, you know, you had Abraham and then other people that, not just staying within within this line.
Yeah.
So who is this guy? And it's like, now it's interesting. God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? That's like when God came to Adam and said, you know, Adam, where are you? It's not because he couldn't find him.
Yes.
I lost him. Where is Adam? Adam, where are you?
Adam, where are you?
Always beware of a question.
From God.
From God, where you think God is asking for information. He's not asking for information. It's a chance for you to come clean sometimes. It's a chance for you to, why is he asking? You know, it's also, you know, like you know, with Ezekiel. Can these dry bones live?
Mm.
Oh, God doesn't know. I'll have to tell him.
You.
No. This is a loaded question. There's something here, all right?
Do you think you made the right decision?
Yeah.
It's like when a parent's like, do you think you made the right decision?
I did before you asked me, now not to the...
It's like, if anyone's ever seen the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
If you've ever locked in an answer and Eddie McGuire says, are you sure? Do not lock in that answer. That is him giving you an absolute lifeline.
So we just come back for a second.
Ten now.
No, verse 9. Go back. We're going back. Verse 8.
Come on,
Jay. I'm replied confused by the iPad.
He replied, stay here and I'll bring back to you whatever the word the Lord may speak to me. So what have they asked? They've come with a fee for divination.
Yeah.
Yes. They say, we will pay you. We will buy your blessing.
We will buy the right word.
We will buy you to say a curse. We'll buy your curse over this people of Israel. Now, there's a point where, did he know about who Israel were? You know, he's a prophet of Yahweh. I'm gonna read into this a little bit dangerous, but I think there's a justification for it. That he sort of knew who Israel were. I'm gonna guess he knew, I shouldn't be touching this with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
Okay, I should not. Two things. They're trying to buy my curse.
Mm.
What sort of deal was he running? Now, it's not necessarily his fault. They say they came with the fee. If you come back, go up a little bit further. They came with the fee of divination.
Mm.
So this is how the world works.
Mm.
This is how all the prophets worked. You paid and they would do
a curse.
So they're coming to this prophet Balaam because he's got a reputation obviously for getting a job done.
Mm-hmm.
So they do the same thing. So maybe it's because he had a standard fee. You know what I mean? They just presuming this is what we do. Mm-hmm. You bring a fee and this is what everyone in the world does, so I'm gonna do it to Balaam.
I thought about buying a curse recently. It's a decent option now that I think
I'll
sell you one.
Not many mother-in-laws would still be around.
I want you to look at the response of Balaam compared with the response of Peter in Book of Acts.
Oh, it's flipping to Acts?
Yeah, we'll go to Acts.
We'll go to Acts first, okay.
I was just going to quote it.
Acts where?
Yeah, we'll just...
I'm ready!
So...
I'm doing good with this iPad thing now.
I'm not feeling the pressure, J-Bot.
Everybody relax. Everybody calm down. It's all good.
My head's too... I'm trying to find the scripture and think about things at the same time.
Nice.
So I just want, I want to find when he went to Book of Acts and...
Let me Google it.
He... and they had to go in... to the place where they weren't... They hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And... good thing.
Acts 8.
Acts 8. Here it is, right here in front of me. Verse 5. And Philip went down to the city, main city of Samaria, and began proclaiming Christ with them. The crowds were paying attention with one mind to what Philip said. As they heard and saw the miraculous signs he was performing, for unclean spirits were crying out with loud shrieks, were coming out of many who were possessed, many paralyzed and lame people getting healed. This is great. So there was great joy in the city, but... Now, verse 9, now in that city was a man named Simon who had been practicing magic and amazing the people of Samaria, claiming to be and someone great.
Just to clarify, I'm guessing when they're talking about Simon had been practicing magic, this is not Pastor Peter and he's trick with the... for people, say, this is a very... This would be very different to what we consider practicing magic.
This is some sort of form of sorcery.
Yeah, this was
some sort of sorcery. I don't think they had the...
this wasn't sawing the girl in half.
This is not the modern...
No, but like that... Like this is... This is where magic got its...
Yeah, this is real. It's actual magic.
Yeah.
All the people from the latest to the greatest paid close attention to him, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid close attention to him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they began to be baptized, both men and women. Now, even Simon himself believed, and after he was baptized, he stayed close to Philip constantly. Hmm. So he's got saved.
Yeah.
And when he saw the signs and great miracles that were occurring, he was amazed.
Hmm.
Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. These two went down and prayed for them so they would receive the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on the Samaritans, and they received the Holy Spirit. So something was happening.
Mm.
Something was powerful happening. Because Simon, when he saw that the Spirit of God was given through the laying of hands, apostles' hands, offered them money. Here is another offer.
Trying to buy. Yeah.
For the things of God to be done with the... Now, he offered them money, possibly because that's how he operated.
Yeah.
People would come to him and offer him money.
Mm-hmm.
And he would do magic and do amazing things. And people would buy his favor and his good things. So maybe it is, that's the way it happens.
Yeah.
That they came down with the diviner's fee because that's the way they operate in their world. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to look at Balaam's response versus Peter's response. All right? Peter's response, to give me this power too so that everyone I place my hand on may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you."
Hmm.
All right, can we, and just, do you know to get other translations for that? You know, let's come on down to some of the paraphrases. Okay,
sorry.
Living Bible. Your money perish with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought.
I like the
message.
To hell with your money.
To hell with your money. And you along with it. Okay.
Okay, AC/DC.
Yeah.
Why, that's unthinkable, trying to buy God's gift.
Yeah. All right. Can you see the response? Can you see how offensive that was and how much pushback he got straight away? All right. So think. So there is a good response when people try and buy stuff. When people think they can use money to manipulate and get hold of the things of God, and they can use money to win favor and win the work of God, the power of God. So now we go back to...
Breakthrough would never do that. No. And for just $12.99 a month, you can subscribe to our healing of the unclean.
And
that's a joke for anyone who's watching online and doesn't understand.
Somebody clip that.
Take that clip.
Numbers 22. Let's,
I'm getting back
let's
now.
Stay with us here.
Bring it in, Jake. Come on.
We're up to like 13.
Verse 8. They've come to ask him. His response is, "Stay here tonight. I'll bring back to you whatever word the Lord may speak to me." I'll go ask God where this is. I'll go ask God about this.
Mm.
I put to you, he didn't really need to ask God.
Yeah. That's good.
He should have shown them the door and said, how dare...
Yeah.
Two things. How dare you try and buy
God's
curse or blessing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And secondly, I've sort of heard... I'm going to guess. I've heard about these people. You come to the wrong place.
Yeah.
I am not going to... I'm not going to get my fingers burnt trying to do anything negative against this people. This is God's people.
It's interesting. It wasn't even that he did the... It wasn't that he agreed to it. He... You would think this is a good act of faith. A lot of people say this is maybe a precautious act of faith. It's a act of...
Let me go and pray.
It's, let me pray about it. I think I know what's right, but I'm just going to double check. I'm like that would be considered... Like, most Christians, if you were to tell me, okay, someone comes and gives you an offer, you don't think it's of God,
but you
say, I'm going to go pray about it, I'd say, oh yeah, that sounds like the right answer. But
here, it does. And this passage doesn't have that clarity of, this is what's happening. Mm. And God seems to sort of support it for a second. But a couple of clues here. Now, that's why I wanted you to read another account where you can act differently.
Yeah.
You're right? And God came to Balaam and said, well, who are these men with you?
God, this is Balak.
It's like, you know, and in that there's a clue, sort of like, what are you doing?
Why are you in their company?
It's like, you hear the joke, and you know God. You know people. God said, you know, someone's praying and says, God, you know, the church down the road's teaching this, and this. You know, what do you think? He said, oh, I actually don't know. I don't go there.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like I don't know. It's not one of the churches I'm part of. You know. Okay. And it's like, okay. All right. You know. And God's saying, who are these men? In other words, I'm not a part of what's happening.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. It's not like I think of another situation where the guy who's praying that when Paul was made blind and Ananias was praying and the Lord said, this is what's going to happen and you're to go with them and you're to do this and when that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes God will show you something, and then when Peter was up and he had that vision and he said, some men are coming, go with them.
Mm.
Remember the Lord said that? Balaam does say, oh, you're the ones the Lord's spoken to me about. The Lord said, who? What's happening here? This is not on my radar.
Mm.
This is not part of it.
Yes.
I don't know. I've got nothing to do with this. You know? Mm. What are you dabbling with there, Balaam? He said, it's Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent a messenger to me saying, look, a nation has come out from Egypt and covers the face of the earth. Come now and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps I will be able to defeat them and drive them out. But God said to Balaam, you must not go with them.
Mm-hmm.
You must not curse the people, for they are blessed.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he saw, I have the feeling that, now, you know, I can't prove that he knew.
No.
But it just did not, it's sort of, you got to look at Balaam. Balaam's looking for an angle. You know, it sounds like he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But he allowed the conversation to go a lot longer than it should have.
Yeah. That answer was cut, you know, very clearly, almost as if surely he already knew that.
So Balaam got up in the morning, said to the princes of Balak, I'll go to your land, for the Lord has refused. The Lord has refused to permit me to go with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as strong as, there's no way I'm going with you. It's like, even God won't let me.
If you go to... Hang on.
He was tempted. He wanted...
The... Acts 1.
Yeah.
Like look at Peter's response, where he said,
Yeah, may your silver and perish.
That was from Peter, not just...
Yeah.
Peter didn't just say, God has said that you're silver and gold. Is like, it's offended Peter. Offended Peter that he said that.
Yeah, that's
Balaam's good. A bit like... Balaam's like the friend calling the... Like someone calling their friends, like, Mom said I can't come over for a sleepover tonight. Yeah. Not like a, how dare you ask?
I can't go out clubbing with you because I'm a Christian.
Yes, that's a great example.
Great example. God says I'm not allowed to go out and do that sort of stuff, so I'm not going.
Hmm.
You know, and if you jump
Mom off, said we have knackers at home.
Peter didn't say, God said I'm not allowed to get your money.
Yeah.
No.
He just said, hell with you and your money.
Yeah.
This is not right. Peter was offended by it.
Yeah.
You don't get the effect that Balaam's offended at all. He's like disappointed.
He's looking at the angle.
He's like, oh. Okay, so go back now. So I'm sorry. Go to your land, for the Lord has refused to permit me to go with you. So the princes of Moab departed and went back to Balaam and said... went back to Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. So Balak again sent princes more numerous and more distinguished than the first. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, son of Zippor, please do not let anything hinder you from coming to me, for I will honor you greatly, and whatever you tell me I will do. So come, put a curse on this nation for me.
You can have all the land. What is it? Satan said to Jesus in the 40 days of in the wilderness, where he's like...
All this can be yours if you just bow down.
That feels a bit like that. I'll honor you greatly and do whatever you tell me. Just curse.
Yeah.
Just curse God's people.
It's not, I will honor you greatly. So Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, even if Balak would give me his palace full of silver and gold, he's thinking this through. I could not transgress the commandment of the Lord my God to do less or more. I can't. I'm sorry. You can't pay me enough because I can't do this.
Yeah.
All right. There's not the offense there.
Yeah.
Now, therefore, please stay the night here also, that I may know what more the Lord might say to me. Now, this is where it gets weird. Okay, yeah, the Bible does this at places. Verse 20, God came to Balaam that night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, get up and go with them. Hang on a second. In anyone else's planning read of this, it's God's like, do not go with them. Mm. Repeat step one.
I do not know them.
He's changed his mind. He's changed his mind. Sometimes you don't want God to change his mind. Do you know what I mean? Because he's like, okay, let's do a bit of pruning here. Let's give Balaam a chance here. This is the reason for this is this, something is not right in Balaam's heart. So God's okay, I'll work with this. But not in a positive way. But he's having to work with him. But he said, you must be careful. The word that I will say to you, that you must do. So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes. Yeah, we're on our way, boys.
Here I go. What was it he said earlier?
But I'm only allowed to curse you.
He's thinking about that palace full of silver and gold.
Well, can I just say something? I think he's thinking about the honor too.
Yeah, the honor.
Then God's anger was kindled because he went. What? God just told him to go. Now he says, yeah! He goes, I'm upset. Can you sort of see God's like, failed a test there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, and so God's upset, and the angel of Yahweh stood in the road to oppose him. Now he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. So the donkey turned aside from the road and went into the field. But Balaam beat the donkey to make it turn back to the road. Like, what are you doing? It's just a plain road and the donkey's just going around. Yeah. Idiot. Donkey. Stupid donkey. Then the angel Lord stood in a path among the vineyards where there was a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel Lord, she pressed herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So I've had a shopping trolley like this.
Yes.
What is this? Stupid.
He needs to get the wheels realigned.
Stupid donkey. Ow! Now my foot. You stupid donkey. Like, there's nothing there. There's nothing there that Balaam can see. And the donkey's buzzing around. What a crazy donkey. Then the angel Lord went farther and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or the left. And when the donkey saw the angel Lord, she crouched down under Balaam. Then Balaam was angry, and he beat his donkey with a staff. He's mad. I don't have a lot of time for Balaam. He's not a very nice person.
No.
He's not proving himself.
It's like, I don't know. There's something not right with him. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you've beat me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, I love it. Don't just immediately starts talking to the donkey.
Yes.
All right, then.
You have made me look stupid. What? You've made me look stupid. Because remember, they're all going with him.
Yeah.
His servants and then...
Yeah.
He said, I'm looking like a fool here.
Yeah.
You've made me look like a fool. Mm-hmm. not maybe the first thing I'd be concerned about. First thing I'd be like, how are you talking?
Are you not maybe more concerned that talking to a donkey might make you look a bit...
Well, it was like, you, I beat you because you were making me look bad.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I was beating you because you were making me look like an idiot. And then you hurt my leg and then you stopped in here. These guys, they think I've got a terrible donkey and I don't... They think I don't know how to steer a donkey.
Yeah, literally.
They think I don't know how to lead a donkey. They think, this guy, is he a prophet? Ooh, the big prophet, can't even lead a donkey. I'm the big man. They're coming to pay me big money. Now, I know I'm not allowed to say the things they want to say, but they know I'm the man.
Yeah.
There's a sense of, I'm the man.
Yeah.
And I'm going, stupid donkey, you make me look bad. And then it's like, the donkey said, well, am I not your donkey that you have ridden ever since I was yours until this day? Have I ever attempted to treat you this way? He said, well, no. This is out of character. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel Lord standing in his way with his sword drawn in his hand. So he bowed his head, threw himself down on his face to the ground.
Mm.
He's scared.
Yeah.
He realized, that guy's going to kill me. Then the angel Lord said to him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? Look, I came out to oppose you because what you are doing is perverse before me.
Mm.
The donkey saw me and turned from me these three times. Donkey was smarter than you were. He could see this a mile away, but you couldn't see it. If she had not turned from me, I would have killed you, but saved her alive.
Yeah.
So I was like, was the donkey tempted after the second beating? Let's ride ahead. I'll take him to his death.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
It gives new meaning to God opposes the crown.
Yeah. Literally. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood against me in the road. So now if it is evil in your sight, I'll go back home. The angel of the Lord said, if it is evil, I'll go home. Go with the men, but you may only speak the word that I will speak to you. So Balaam went with the princes of Baal. So he's allowed to go, but under intense restrictions to the point where and we won't read this now. He goes three times. Balak takes him to a place and says, now observe the Israelites, curse them. And he's like, I cannot curse them. And he speaks blessing over them. In fact, reading those blessings is actually a lot of fun. It's the blessings that a man who doesn't want to is forced to declare, this people is blessed. And there's some amazing words spoken in that blessing. And the fun thing is, it's the blessing that's on us. It's the same blessing. It's the same blessing that's on us. The things that Balaam actually said over them is the things that are on us, because we're blessed in Abraham and we're blessed with the blessing that's come through Jesus. And that's our blessing. And we are a blessed people. And God is, and it says the sound of the king, I think, the shout of the king's amongst them.
Yeah.
God's amongst us, the blessing. They can't stop it. Yeah. Woo, it's pretty exciting. So, but each time he'd bless them, the Balak's servants would get mad in the, okay, take him to another spot. Maybe if you look from another direction, you can get another perspective. No. And I think what it did, three times he went to different perspectives. And in the end, he's like, I'm not even going to ask God. I'm just going to bless him. Because I know what he's going to say. And each time it was like, I'm pretty sure every time he stood on that mountain and he saw the desire, he remembered there's a sword, there's an angel around here with a sword. Yes. Seriously, he did it knowing.
Keep your head down.
Yeah. If I say curse, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was, I'm just saying the blessing, but he did it under huge restraint that he couldn't do anything else. And so he blessed. So it says, okay, well, he came around. Bless. He can't. Yeah. Doesn't matter what he does. And
that's good.
Now let's go to chapter 24, verse 10. Balak's anger turned against Balaam. He's mad.
24, verse 10?
Yeah. Balak's anger burned against Balaam because he's cursed, he's blessed these people. He says, I'm actually paying you to curse him, and you're actually doing the opposite. You're blessing them. You're doing the exact opposite. Balak's anger burned against Balaam. And I would have said, became very angry at Balaam, and he struck his hands together. I called you to curse my enemies, and look, you've done nothing but bless them these three times. Mm-hmm. Now, so now, go back where you came from. I said I would greatly honor you, but now the Lord has stood in the way of your honor.
Mm. You stupid god has cost you.
Yeah. And Balaam said to Balak, oh, did I not also tell your messengers whom you sent me to me? If Balak would give me his palace full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or evil of my own will. But whatever the Lord tells me, I must speak. Mm-hmm. And now I'm about to go back to my own people. Come now, and I will advise you as to what this people will do to your people in the future. Then he added the oath. So he begins to speak another blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, just drive Balak nuts. You think, oh, he's turned around. No, he is doing all this knowing that there is an angel standing somewhere with a fiery sword that he can't see but a donkey can. And he's like, if I veer even a little bit, I'm gone.
Mm.
And
he kept that donkey after, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I reckon he's probably mad with the donkey still. Yeah. You know what I mean? He just doesn't have, you know, something not right with the person. It's something not right, man. So verse 25, so he does this great prophecy, and then verse 25, right at the end, Balaam got up and departed and returned to his home, and Balak also went his way.
Separated.
End of the story. Final thing. What was it?
Next one.
Verse 1 of chapter 25. So this is the people that are totally blessed. When Israel lived in Shittim, and I get to pronounce that, Shittim, the people began to commit sexual immorality with the daughters of Moab. These women invited the people to sacrifices of their gods. Then the people ate and bowed down to their gods. When Israel joined themselves to Baal, Peor, the anger of the Lord flared up against Israel. Mm. He is mad against them. He is mad. Go to chapter 31, verse 16.
Look at that speed.
So there was a plague had come upon the people because look, these people through the counsel of Balaam. Caused the Israelites to act treacherously against the Lord in the matter of Peor, which resulted in the plague among the community of the Lord. Balaam gave them the advice to go and get their daughters to seduce them and bring them into their immoral sacrifices, and that will cause the curse of God to come upon his people.
Mm.
Balaam gave this advice.
Mm. Wow.
That is, now, go back a little bit just to verse 8. Remember when Balaam went? He went back to his home. Mm-hmm. And they went, but look where he is by chapter 31. When they killed the kings of Midian, so the Israelites have come through, along with the rest of their slain, Evil and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, the five kings of Midian, they also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword.
Mm. So he was with them still.
He's with them.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow he'd moved
back.
Back. He moved to them. Because he wasn't with them. Remember they promised him honor?
Yeah. Mm.
Promised him a lot of finances? Somehow he got himself amongst them.
Again.
And then when they got their judgment, he got the judgment with them.
Mm.
Something was not right about Balaam.
Yeah.
Mm. He was a prophet of God, and yet his heart was... constantly looking for an angle. He loved this stuff. Mm. He loved the honor. He wanted the money. He wanted, and I think honor more than anything, because I think, you know, you get that from the donkey, like you're making me look like a fool.
Yeah.
He loved the fact that they'd come.
Mm.
He was like, if only God. And it must have cut him when the king said, your God has stopped you from getting all the stuff I said I'd give you. I say, okay. And he's like, I've got an idea.
Mm.
I can't curse them, but try this.
Yeah. Mm.
Try this. And suddenly he's the man of the moment, and he's living with them.
Mm.
He's like handy to have around. He's the prophet of God, but he can be bought.
That's good.
So he's comfortable. I always wonder, you know, now it doesn't say this here. I'm doing a little bit of my imagination thinking. If you really loved God and you really, you know, wanted to serve him, when you discovered the Israelites had come, the people of God, where you hear the blessing of God and you said the shout of the kings amongst them, you'd go and knock on the door and say, can I join you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That's where it should have been.
Yeah.
The presence and glory of God was there.
Hmm.
He's standing up on a mountain seeing it.
Hmm.
He's saying, from every angle I look, every angle I look, that's the blessed people. Oh, but I wish I could be with you guys. I wish I could be with you. You are amazing. And you got... I love what you offer.
Your money, your
status, you think I'm the great, you know, poopa, you know, as opposed to they've already got a man of God called Moses, and he might see through me.
Yeah, that's cool.
He might realize you're pretty good, but something stinks about this guy. But he's like, I'm blowing my opportunity. I've always dreamt of being in that palace with them, and you know what I mean. Yeah, so we're reading a little bit into that, but we're not reading totally into it because. So last week, in our last Bible study, we were looking at Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14.
Oh, 2:14.
Yeah. But I have a few things against you. You have some people there who follow the teaching of Balaam, who instructed Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel so they would eat food, sacrifice to idols, and commit sexual immorality. He said, you got people there who are following Balaam's way. It's okay. 2 Peter. Verse 14.
Chapter 2.
Having eyes, their eyes full of adultery, never stop sinning. They entice unstable people. It's talking about false leaders in trying to entice the church. They entice unstable people. They have trained their hearts for greed, these cursed children. By forsaking the right path, they have gone astray because they followed the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Yet was rebuked for his own transgression. A dumb donkey speaking with a human voice restrained the prophet's madness. He wanted to do it, and it was just that was straining him, holding him back from what he wanted to do. So Peter and John and Jesus effectively in Revelation speaking. Balaam's an example on what not to do.
Yeah.
But there was a man who had access to hearing God
and
speaking the things of God, but his heart, he just wanted the honor that the world would give. He loved this world system, and he was trying to work out how he could work the system. You cannot. Greed will infect, it'll poison what you're doing. Okay? So we need to come to the Word of God humbly and open, not trying to find an angle.
Yeah.
All right. I don't come to the Word of God to try and support what I'm trying to do and just get a verse here and there. And, you know, a lot of people actually make accusation against people that you know, believe in the blessing of God and prosperity, and they say, oh, you know, it's just greed. I say, oh, no, actually, that is the mirror of God. The more I look into this Word of God, God calls me blessed. And I have to call myself blessed if I'm going to be true to the Word of God.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's a very different thing to having a motivation of greed or, you know, love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Look at what we just read, you know.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So it's, there's a wrong way of doing it, okay? And I'm not saying that, but you've got to come, it's the attitude. You come into this and say, I am, one of the reasons I believe in prosperity is because I would be judging the Word of God if I said it doesn't actually call me to be blessed, because I say if it makes me feel uncomfortable or people will criticize me for it or people will say this. Well, you know what? I don't really have a choice. When you look at the Word and you dig into it, it is, we are a blessed people. You look at the whole story of Balaam, He said, "There are blessed people.
Yeah,
that people good. Is blessed."
It's what you've spoken about like multiple times with like false humility.
Yeah,
it's like, oh no, if the Bible says it,
yeah,
that's what I am.
Yeah,
that's what I have.
Mm. You know, sometimes we want the we want the plaudits of the Christian community.
Mm.
Is that any worse than Balaam?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I want their honor, so I will
honor amongst.
I will compromise a few things and say things. You know, and you're the man because you say things. You know, like, no, I'm just committed to doing and being what God's called me to be and doing what God's called me to do. And that's one of the reasons. You know, like, and we don't shy away from studying people like Balaam because he was a key moment. Peter said, "You got to watch out for this guy and his attitude." Jesus said, "You got to watch out for this guy." So that's why we're taking time to actually study him a little bit because this is a danger.
Mm.
All right. And what it was, we want to be like Peter. As soon as we get a sniff that something's not right, cut it off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Don't dance with the devil and see how close you can get. Do you know what I mean? And still stay true. Do you know what I mean? Just say, "Oh, you know, I love the praises of men, and I think I can still do that and serve God." So let's see how I can work. And no, just kind of, you know, just and so yeah, it's the attitude. How good it would have been if the story of Balaam had been, he stood up there and said, "You know what, God, I'm so sorry. I was a fool. Can I be a part of that people?" Maybe one of the reasons he couldn't be because God said, "Yeah, but if you go down there, you'll just be one of them. You won't be Balaam, the man that they bring divination fees to."
Mm. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, but you'll be amongst the blessed people, and that's you'll be good. Close to me, and you'll enter into the blessings,
yeah.
and you'll be where the cloud of the glory is during the day, and the pillar of fire at night, and you'll be where Moses is, and that man, he comes out, and his face is glowing with the presence of God, and that's right where I'm going to give the law, and you'll be part of where the law is coming.
Yeah.
And you'll be part of my people. Can you actually be brought into this? Can someone from outside have had that opportunity? Well, look at Rahab. Rahab was known that Rahab the prostitute, Rahab the harlot. She was brought into this. Do you know what I mean? Because she rescued the people, and she said, "I believe in you," and so she was saved, and Rahab the harlot became part of God's actual lineage, not just she's allowed to come in here and get a house right on the edge because you know who she was. But if you we'll finish with this. Matthew chapter 1 J verse 5, we'll start at verse 1. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. To Abraham was born Isaac, Isaac Jacob, Jacob Judah and his brothers. Judah was born Perez and Zerah by Tamar. To Perez was born Hezron and Hezron Ram. To Ram was born Aminadab, to Aminadab Nashon, and to Nashon Salmon. And to Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab. By Rahab. And to Boaz was born Obed by Ruth, and to Obed Jesse, and to Jesse was born David the king. Hallelujah. So you can...
That's good.
Someone from outside can be brought in.
Yeah.
That's good.
Someone from outside can be brought in and intertwine, integrated, and become a part of God's covenant people. So Balaam could have, if he desired, put up his hand and walked into that people and said, "I want to be here. I want to be a part of this." But he would probably lose his prestige, lose his position of honor, and all the things that he wanted to go along with, and just be there. And he went back home thinking, "Oh, I think I've blown a good offer. Maybe I'll send a message."
I remember many years ago we had a family come to the churches many years ago. Funnily enough, they weren't there for all that long, but they came through, and I think it was the first week they were there? Second week, maybe. Maybe it was before the second service. They came to, I think it was you, and they go, "Oh, our son, he's a very good drummer. We'd love him to join the team." And they someone's maybe 15, they've been going to the church for about 2 weeks, and you're like, "Oh, like, well, we'd love to have him join Team Breakthrough, love to have him serve." Like, now, obviously, we won't kind of just put him straight on the drums. Like, "How about to serve in the car park or help? We need help this weekend setting up chairs because we've got a conference." And like, "Oh, no, we don't really do chair setting up or carpet, but we'd be happy to do drums or speaking though. And I was like, in that moment, I was like, ah, you're not interested to serve the church. You're interested to come in and get on us straight away. And I was like, but I think it's, that could be a bit of the bubble where it's like, oh.
What are you here for?
Well, you could join the Israelites, but you lose. Mm. He's like, no, I want to do it, but I want to be the drummer. Yeah. I want to be the speaker on a Sunday. It's like, no, how about you serve and earn your, and you know, serve and, you know,
show your heart
towards God. But
that's good.
I don't think his heart, he could afford for his heart to be shown.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it never says that Balaam even considered that, or that was an option. It's just something I have wondered. But there's no reason he couldn't have. And I just get the impression that he was under the restraint of God. And you get that the whole way through. He was being restrained by God rather than God was leading him.
That's good.
And flowing with him. And I do not want God to have that feeling of he's constantly, get back. Where is he?
Send a donkey.
Oh, yeah. Speak to him by a donkey. This guy is going to kill himself if he's not careful. Get over here. What is he doing? Where is he now? Okay. You don't want that.
No.
You don't want to. You want to be hungry. And part of that hunger is to come to the Word of God and say, God, tell me who I am in you. And then let me hungrily embrace that, take it to myself, grow in that, and do what God has called me to do. Okay. So, Josh, why don't you pray for us? And I was wanting to ask actually to get to studying that today, because I thought it's a critical thing that it's important for us to get our heart on.
That's awesome,
Father God. We're just so grateful for today, and we choose to align our thinking, our thoughts, with what you says, with what the Word says about us. We put aside the things that we've done or the thoughts we've had of ourselves in the past. We lay those aside. And what you say about us, Father God, we take that on as the highest form of truth, of reality. That is what you have said. And so that is what is true about us. We thank you for your grace and your goodness to us, for the words that you do speak over us, Father, that from today forward, we pay more attention, close attention to what you think of us and what you say, not what we feel or not what we've done, that you would be blessed and that you would be glorified in how we live, Lord, of what you say of us, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, church, for joining us. I'm not sure about you, but I was so blessed by what was spoken today. Would join us on Sunday in person or online for... Sunday, so, Pastor, you're going to be speaking, aren't you? Are you speaking this Sunday?
Yes, I believe I am.
I believe you're speaking this Sunday. So who knows? Maybe we'll get a bit of a. Often I love on what you get is Friday can be a bit of a tease of what we're going to get a bit of on Sunday. It's not, they're not the same, but often what we work through on Friday, we get the fruit of on a Sunday in the service. Well, I love that.
Can I just give you a little background on this couple of minutes on Sunday? I got to share a message. Amen, amen.
Yes, that was a great service. Great service.
Powerful revelation. I was spending this a few minutes before Reverend Jesse was coming to speak. You know, like this was before he'd arrived. Because we were waiting to hear whether he wanted us to, or us would be me, to share an offering message.
Yeah.
And then... receive the offering,
yeah.
Or whether Brother Jesse would receive the offering message as part of his message. So I wasn't sure. So I thought, you know, I should stop and just make sure, be ready, you know. And so I'm praying, and I got led to this, you know. I was just feeling, you know, reading a couple of scriptures, and I had a path that I wanted to go, but that's a good idea. God's like, you know, it's like, what's those people you're talking? What are those scriptures you're looking at? You know, okay. If you're not sure, if you're not in it, God, maybe I'll leave those alone for a moment. What are those scriptures you've been looking at? Nothing. Don't worry about them. And I end up, the scripture that kept coming back was Jesus watching and the widow putting two mites in whenever I'm putting anything. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Lord. I'm like, I don't really want to be trying to cover that in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's got some areas to sort of sort through. And that's not the thing. And I just felt, no, something here. And then the Lord said, and I'm like, okay. And I just said, well, Lord, this is what you want. I'm going to trust you, because it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to trust you. The Lord said, would you like me to give you a revelation
from this.
That's so good.
And I said, yes. He said, just read it. So I'm reading. I'd read it through a few times already. Yeah. I knew the story.
Yeah.
And I'm reading it through. And as I read it, and I'm just reading, suddenly this concept, and I'm not going to preach it now. You have to go back to our Sunday message, amen, amen, if you didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where it came from. The Lord just,
wow.
And it was like, I'm like, oh, it's great revelation. And then I was talking to Brother Jesse before, and he goes, and I, you know, Brother Jesse, I said, we'd like to take the offering up as part of your message. He goes, yeah, that, I think that'd be good. So I didn't get, you know, it wasn't for me to use that. But I'm like, now I'm sitting on this revelation.
Mm. Yes.
And so I begin to dig into it and dig into it more. Yeah, and then it turned into Sunday sermon. But it was, to me, it was the most amazing thing when God said, there's a revelation here. Would you like me? You know, yes. And I was like, I've just been reading it.
That's so good.
And I suddenly read it. And it's like, why did I never see this before?
Yeah.
You know, when God did, ding, turns the light on. And then I began to you know, see, oh, this is bigger than I even imagined. This is just not a revelation here. This is... So you go and listen to Amen, Amen.
That's amazing.
And that's where it came from. Just God just said, would you like a revelation? If you stick with what I've showed you, I'll give you a revelation that'll make it all worthwhile. Yeah. But if I had just said, that doesn't fit, and I'm really locked in because I want these scriptures, guess what I would have got?
Nothing.
No revelation. So isn't God good?
Well, hopefully this Sunday we can get another revelation that Pastor gets sometime. But we're very excited to be with us on Sunday, 10 a.m. Next Wednesday night, we've got... next Wednesday night isn't Grow Teens because it is a special... Fifth Wednesday of the month. So it'll be the following Wednesday we'll be back to normal. But next Friday, we have Academy B here. But on behalf of myself, Josh and Pastor Peter, thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next... See you Sunday, and then we'll see you next Friday. Bye for now. Bye.